listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
So we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 today. And I'm thankful I get to tag team with Sean again on this. Have you enjoyed this, Sean? Have you enjoyed this? Okay. Good. You are allowed to.
I wanted to just say thank you for going where we're going, especially today.
Okay.
This is needed to be done, and it takes courage, and it's really grateful and appreciative.
We believe in it. I think people ask the question, how can I stay anchored in Jesus Christ? One of the things that the Holy Spirit does when the Holy Spirit's at work in us is he builds a confidence and a trust and a faith and a reliance upon God that doesn't exist in ourselves. The only way we can actually come to God is that the Holy Spirit has drawn us. And so we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 6 as our main verse for the series. And that was, we're supposed to hold fast to the hope that's set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. I would say for our faith, the work of the Holy Spirit is the anchor for our soul. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, I believe, is what the most significant plays the most significant role in keeping us solid living for Jesus. And this goes beyond the sanctification process where God is making us holy by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's actually empowering us to live and take faith steps so we can do what God wants to do, and we can let God work through us to help other people. That's, I think, one of my favorite things about it.
Amen.
Want to say anything else?
Yeah. Can I read my quote?
Yeah.
I want to read a quote of the Holy Spirit's role in church. This is by Robert Morris. It says, the Holy Spirit intercedes through us on earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers for their work. It's the Holy Spirit who makes them overseers of the flock. He hears, speaks, teaches, and guides us into all truth. He glorifies Christ, receives from Christ, shows us Christ, and brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. It's better for us that Jesus left so he could come. He shows us things to come, knows the deep things of God, searches all things, and reveals all things. Where he is, there is liberty. The writers of the Bible spoke as they were moved by him. We are warned not to grieve him or quench him. The sin against him is unpardonable because sin against him is against the only one who can reveal the Son to us. And unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We are convicted by him, born again by him, led by him, filled by him, and sealed by him.
Right on. So one of the things that we have done in the last couple of weeks is answer some questions that were posed regarding the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important for us to know that everything that we're diving into today and have for this whole series is rooted in Scripture. And it's kind of funny, the longer you're in church, you can find that we can teach something that is a tradition of the elders that may not completely jive with what Scripture is. What I mean is church traditions can end up taking equal footing with God's Word occasionally. And when that's revealed to us, the thing to do is to be able to take our church tradition and lay it at the feet of Jesus. This has happened wherever there's been organized religion. Men and women create ways to interact with God that maybe are some of their favorite things to do, but it's not necessarily what God's Word would say. One particular one, it says in Scripture that we're supposed to honor our father and mother. And the early Jews had created a way to avoid having to do that. They said, according to tradition, anything that we would have given to our parents, we will now offer that up to God. It's a gift for God, and it was perfectly acceptable. Except Jesus said, so you've got this great tradition where you're offering this great sacrifice to the Lord and ignoring your parents. You can't take your own traditions and hold them up with God's Word and say, our tradition trumps God's Word. And so we engage with the work of the Holy Spirit. I recognize that people can come from a whole variety of backgrounds where the work of the Holy Spirit is embraced or celebrated, or the Holy Spirit is relegated to he was only around for the first couple hundred years of the church. And so depending on what your church tradition is, we may be bumping up against that today. Especially the topic we're going to be getting into addresses these questions. What is speaking in tongues? Can every Christian speak in tongues? How do we know if we have the gift of tongues? Okay. And so we're going to touch on that a little bit. I'm, again, very thankful for the church at Corinth. I mentioned last week that if Las Vegas, Amsterdam, and New Orleans had a baby, it would be Corinth. It was a place where you just went and did whatever you felt like doing. It was a wild place. There was a verb that was coined to describe this wild behavior. It was Corinthianizing. And so a person who's especially wild and given to self-indulgence was a Corinthian. And so within the church at Corinth, because God's grace is sufficient for anybody, and he offered forgiveness, people began to come to Christ, they still brought themselves and their own personalities and their bigness and their me focus into the church. Imagine that. People come to know Jesus and they're not perfectly saved. They're not perfectly behaved and not following Jesus in every area. Does that make sense? That's weird, huh? No, it's normal because God's at work in us, transforming us. So in the church at Corinth, we start off by seeing there's at least four major factions. There's four groups of people who are at war with each other to see who will be the supreme faction within the church. You've got Paul, you've got Apollos, you've got Peter, you've got people who follow Jesus, and it's just a mess. You've also got people who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they have uncovered spiritual gifts, and they are using them for their own benefit. They're using them basically like if they were Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts as merit badges to be able to display, look what we have. And so chapters 12, 13, and 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians basically address the abuse of the gifts of the Holy Spirit within the context of the church, what's happening. But they also give us insight into I would call it the grace of our being able to pray in the Holy Spirit. You want to touch on that at all, Sean?
You know, the Bible says that we are to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It says it more than once. And the whole motivation for that is so that we can be empowered to serve others. And the particular gift that we're talking about today is we're going to be talking about some of the benefits of it and how wonderful it is. It is the one gift that does build you up as a person. But it also helps you to learn and be available to the Holy Spirit's moving in your life in that service to others and in operating in the gifts of serving others.
Yeah, the church at Corinth had discovered something, that when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in a language that they'd never heard before. According to what we see in the Bible, in several different places we'll look at today, this is when praying in the Spirit is a grace that's given to the believer so that when we don't know what else to pray, we can privately go before the Lord and our spirit prays talking to the Lord. And it says here, we're going to read this in 1 Corinthians 14, it says we are built up. But the thing is, it was so cool that they had this language that within the church, they'd get together for services and they would go off at the top of their lungs all over the gathering. And at some point, people are writing to Paul and saying, it's kind of chaotic. This is really bizarre. But they're so excited because they've got a tongue and they're going to use it. It's kind of like a 4-year-old who gets a bullhorn for their birthday. And it's a really neat gift. But this bullhorn, used in the wrong context, can become incredibly annoying. I think it's amazing that my son and his 4-year-old son, Mason, bring these types of presents that he's received for birthdays and past things to my house instead of leaving them at his house. But I digress. But it's like, how did we get this bullhorn? Where did this really loud police siren come from? How did the ambulance thing get here? And where's the 6-foot bear? How did that get? Anyway, they just kind of migrated, but I digress. And so they were using their gift, the grace of tongues God had given them for prayer to declare loudly in the church. And this gives us a little bit of insight in 1 Corinthians 14, as Paul says, now, spiritual gifts are good. I want you to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who is prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. So Paul's saying, when you're gathered in a situation like this, all together, it's better to have someone who would prophesy. To prophesy is to hear a message from God that is an encouragement to other people. We all have the ability to hear God and to respond. A modern-day prophet would be somebody who helps others to learn how to hear God and to follow it. Maybe a word of encouragement or a word of edification that builds us up. He says, it's good that you have your tongues, but it's more important in a church setting that you would have somebody who would prophesy so it can be understood. Now, later on, it says, you know, what happens if you're gathered together like this and everybody's using their bullhorn to declare their spiritual language out loud and someone walks in who doesn't kind of know what's going on? Maybe they're new, they're just exploring Jesus, they do this. They come walk in through the sanctuary doors and they turn and walk back around out. And it's because they say, these guys are out of their mind. I don't understand this. That's why we would say if there's going to be a public tongue, it's best reserved for the setting where it's for where all the people who are attending are Christians. And so it'd be like a worship night or a small group where it's going to be much easier to begin to engage in it. Because just because we have our spiritual language does not mean we have to blast it and it's out that somehow we haven't had a good Sunday unless we've heard messages in tongues. But want to say anything on that?
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason for the gifts of the Spirit, as we see here in verse 3, is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. You know, it's not to bring confusion or weirdness or to draw attention to ourselves. It's for serving others.
That's the truth. And so this grace is a God-given language for believers to be able to pray in, and it is to build us up. Is it wrong that we would want to be built up?
No.
Okay, it can almost feel selfish. You know, the person who prophesies is building up the church. The person who is speaking in their praying in their spirit is building themselves up. I can tell you this. I would not be standing here today except that I, on a regular basis, take time to pray in the spirit. I don't do it loud. I don't do it so other people can see or hear. But I can't. It is the thing that is, it is my go-to when there's a point of confusion, when I'm afraid, when I'm trying to kind of rid my mind of the other thoughts I don't want to be thinking about. You know when you're wanting to think about God's stuff for you today? Mm-hmm. And every other thought in the world begins to bombard you? Mm-hmm. How I take those thoughts captive is I begin quietly just to pray in the language that the Holy Spirit taught me for the express purpose of just clearing my mind, saying, I'm focused on you. I can't tell you how many times over the years, I don't know, anybody else have bad dreams occasionally? I have bizarre dreams at times. And when I wake up, my wife usually is the one who's shaking me awake. And I'm usually, I don't remember them all the time, but in having the bad dream, my first thing of going to is to call upon the name of Jesus. And the only way to get my heart rate back down underneath 3 million is to begin to pray in the spirit and asking for God's peace and God's heart for me to be expressed instead of this fear, whatever it was that was causing it. And so as one of the things we're going to talk about today is there's, you know, three main things that when we're addressing praying in the Spirit, this is something that is scriptural. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 through 19 basically says this: For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? Well, I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my mind or with understanding in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So there's this recognition that God has given this. And Paul says, I wish all of you would do this because it's going to build you up. If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we have to feed ourselves. The thing is, we don't always know what we need to eat. Okay. If you know a little kid, you can recognize this little kid is going to need special nutrients to be able to grow up to be the person that they were intended to be. If you leave a 2-year-old alone to choose what kind of food they want to eat, what are they going to choose? What else? Instant gratification, satisfaction, and they're going to have a deficient diet. Fries. I was talking to Sean Lear the other day, and he was talking about his little guy, Max. And Max wasn't really eating for a while. He was going through an illness. But he says they're driving by, and they go by In-N-Out Burger, and Max goes, fries. It's like, that's what we do. When we pray in our spirit, we're asking God to build us up and to strengthen us, and to give us the things that we need in order to grow that we don't know what we would need. We may be thinking, I just need fries, but our spirit is praying. We're saying, Lord, I want to pray for humility and for compassion. We don't know, but it's something that it strengthens us and encourages us.
It's like a secret language. You know, don't take this wrong. This is not a joke, but I've referred to it as the phone to the throne. It's perfect communication between you and your Father. It bypasses the mind, which is wonderful because our minds, sometimes it's hard to pray in English, let alone in another language, because we're so finite and we're so restricted, and our flesh gets involved. The things, the fries or the things that we want maybe get involved. But when we're praying in our heavenly language, it's unhindered, it's perfect, it's free. The devil doesn't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying. That's okay. It's your spirit talking directly to our Father and having perfect communion with him. It's
Have you ever had someone share some bad news with you so much so that it just kind of blows you out of the water? You just have no words, don't even know what to say. I'm sorry seems just woefully impotent. And it's like, dear God, what can I do? It's at that particular moment that we can pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows what he wants to express. Romans 8 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those called according to his purpose. This is scriptural, and it's for our benefit. Anytime God does something that is for our benefit, for us to be able to grow closer to him, it will become a target of the enemy. The enemy wants to keep us from growing to be the people God made us to be. If he can't keep us from coming to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ, he's going to want to steal, to kill, and to destroy every area of our life that we never become the men and women God intended for us to be. So this benefit, 1 Corinthians 14, we read a minute ago, praying in the Spirit builds us up in our innermost being. It says, if I speak in a tongue, I build myself up. This is something that is for private interactions, for our personal prayer to God. Jude chapter 20, it says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Ephesians chapter 6, there's a scripture that goes into the armor of God. If you're familiar with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, sometimes we don't get all the way down to verse 18. It says this, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. One of the most significant things that we have in battle, in doing spiritual warfare, first in Ephesians 6:10, we're told to stand firm in the power of God's might. And he provides what this might is with his word, with helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel, feet shod with the gospel of peace. But then there's the praying in the Spirit on all occasions. This is what helps us. This is what protects us. So, I don't want to throw anything on that.
Yeah, you know, speaking in tongues is like it's spiritual pumping iron. You know, you're building up your inner man. You're building up your spiritual man. You're becoming stronger. And I love this verse in Ephesians 6. You know, I've never served in the military. Okay, thank God. I remember being a little kid telling mom I didn't want to go to war. But if you were in a war, and in reality we are. We are in a spiritual war every single day. But if I was in a natural war and knowing I was going to have to go out and face an enemy, wouldn't you want every tool at your side, every weapon, you know, all the necessary equipment in order to have an effective battle? If you were involved in a battle, I would want everything. And a private prayer language, a spiritual language, is a very powerful tool for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the other things to emphasize is it is a choice to be able to speak in or pray in the Spirit. It's not something all of a sudden the Spirit comes and you're just like, I can feel it. He's taking over. And there we go. I have talked to people before. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14. It's like, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit and my mind. It's something I'm going to do this. It's volitional. I have talked to people about this before. And at one point somebody said, you know, if God wants me to be able to have the gift of praying in the Spirit, he can give it to me. And if not, no worries. I'm not going looking. He can drop it. It's almost like it's your birthday and God's bringing a present to you and you've got your hands behind your back. Nope, not going to take it. You got to really make me want it if I'm going to get it. If I want to receive what he has for me, I'm going to pursue him. And it's not something of that there's this weird supernatural bizarre experience that takes place. Merely it's something, as we're going to see in Luke chapter 11, it's asking God, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. And begin speaking praise to the Lord, and he fills your mouth with words that you've never learned before. Now, I've had somebody say, I tried to do this before, and it sounded like baby talk. It made no sense to me. Back in the old days, the Greek speakers of the first century called people barbarians who didn't speak Greek. You know why? Because the languages of the world that were not Greek, to them just sounded like they were going bar, 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 like that. So it was the barbars, the barbarians. That's where it came from. A language that is not understandable to us is going to sound funny. No, at no time in my life have I known this more significantly than when I brought a Chinese exchange student to live with us. I'm serious. Frank, his real name is Yuchi, but Frank has lived with us for 3 very wonderful years, incredible years. And keep in mind that the English he knew, he learned from a professor named Snoop Dogg. And so he was proficient in the use of Isl words and things like that. Not so much when it came to actually speaking. But the guy is probably one of the fastest talkers I've ever heard. And I remember the first time he's Skyping with his parents. And they've got everybody in the family over. And I am sitting outside his room just dying with laughter because they're talking and screaming and yelling and laughing. And it sounds like, man, you know the Chinese words that you're hearing in your head. It's like when you pretend to speak Chinese because you can't do it. That's what's going on. Like, this makes no sense. And so afterwards, like, Frank, what happened? Oh, we talked about my grandparents, and they really want me to do good. And my dad told me that I'm supposed to tell you if I do bad in school, you're supposed to hit me because that's what Chinese fathers do. And this is true. That's what he said I was supposed to do. We haven't taken him up on it yet, but it's still early. But it's going back and forth. I'm thinking, all I heard made no sense. So, but it made sense to him. When we pray in our spirit, it's making a volitional choice to be able to speak the words that God gives and know that our spirit is going to be communicating to him exactly what it is that we need. You want to touch anything on that before we transition?
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. You have complete control, just like you have complete control of when you speak English or not, okay? You get up in the morning and say good morning to whoever. That's a choice that you make. Same thing with spiritual language. You are in complete and utter control of when and when you do not speak in spiritual language, okay? The Lord is never going to embarrass you. It's never going to come upon you. You're never going to be compelled or out of your control. You're never going to be embarrassed in a public setting. It's completely and totally under your control. It's the choice that you make.
Yeah, it's like if you go to a Reno Aces baseball game this year and you feel the power of the Holy Spirit upon you, God doesn't drag you to the PA announcer, the announcer's box, and force you over to the microphone and put you on the microphone so you can begin to speak in your spiritual language at the top of your lungs. I couldn't help it. He just made me do it. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit wants to draw attention to who Jesus is, and he wants to build us up and strengthen us. And so one of the things that I've heard is people have said, well, I don't want to open myself up to the baptism of the Holy Spirit because what if I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the devil sneaks something else in? Seriously, I've heard this multiple times, and this is what's taught. You don't know. When you start going into the spiritual world, you start asking, something could sneak in. I believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said this in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. If you remember in Luke 10, one of the things that Jesus said is he sent the disciples out with authority to declare the message of the gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. It says to cast out evil spirits from people, to trample upon snakes and serpents. He's referring to snakes, serpents, scorpions, and he was referring to the evil spirits as that. When the disciples came back, they said, this is so cool. We were able to cast out evil spirits. And Jesus said, you should be really excited that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I saw the devil fall out of heaven like a lightning bolt. Okay, big whoop. Okay, focus on what's really important. So this takes us to Luke 11. It's the scripture where the disciples are being taught how to pray. And Jesus has basically said, whatever, he says, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, I want you to knock. Whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, whoever knocks, the door will be opened. And he says this, what father, yes, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Look back at Luke 10. In Luke 10, Jesus referenced the serpent and the scorpions. If we ask our Father in heaven for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to send a serpent or a scorpion in its place. He's going to baptize it with the Holy Spirit. I want to apologize because I know there are people who have experienced prejudice, who have experienced rejection, who have experienced, well, you don't measure up because you may have prayed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and no spiritual language came out and people are looking at you like somehow you're defective. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I know, I've seen this happen. The Holy Spirit was not poured out on our life so we can put on this merit badge and walk around like we're holier than the people who don't have the Holy Spirit. And if that's happened to you in a church context, it's the opposite of what God wants. But it's a lot like what people do. We try and measure ourselves against each other, and that's not the intent. That's not the purpose. God's a good father. He wants the very best for us. He wants us to stand firm in him. And how we can best do that is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to make us the best version of ourselves that we can be. It's going to strengthen us. It's going to grow us. And he's going to draw people to himself.
It's the promise of the Father. It's the promise of the Father. And Jesus said in Acts 1, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it's power to walk the Christian life. I remember Pastor Dave used to say, who can live the Christian life? Nobody. Only Jesus. But he can do it through you. And he does it by the power of the Spirit.
I want to tell a couple stories. First one, how does the baptism of the Holy Spirit take place? How do we receive our ability to pray in the Spirit? For me, I was 13 or 14. I was stuck between my dad and Sean McConnell at a church service, and they asked me, would you like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? I'm thinking, no, but I can't get out. Really, that was my first thought. No, it was okay. It wasn't you. It was my dad. There was a part of me that was so afraid, but then there's this other part that said, if I don't trust me and my fear. I mean, I was afraid of irrational things. And I know God never does things that are wrong or bad to or for me. So I said, yes, I would like this. And it wasn't like a magical formula to repeat after me. I've heard people who try to say, just say these words and then you'll be speaking in tongues. It's like we start busting out with Subaru should have bought a Hyundai or something like that. And we don't learn it from somewhere. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so I can remember Sean just put his hand on my shoulder and prayed. And I said, Lord, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And there, for me, it doesn't happen with everybody, but for me, there was a tangible sense. It's like I'd stuck my hands into thick cotton. I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And words came to my head, and I began to quietly speak them. I don't know how long I stood there, but it was a while. And it's like, that was it. I was expecting fire or something. And it's like, no, it was just normal me. Except I felt something in me was nourished in a way that hadn't been nourished before. That makes sense? Another time, we have three children, Johnny, Joey, and Elise. Joey is the middle child. He was the most difficult, is the most difficult at various times as far as interacting with us. He's a wonderful kid, incredible man, great husband now. He was 9. We didn't know what to do with him. He's going crazy in his room. He's not listening to anybody. The only thing he took out of the movie Galaxy Quest was Never Give Up, Never Surrender. He took from Toy Story, you know, to Infinity and Beyond. But he's going to stand against Joni and me in our attempts to raise him. And I can remember one time Joni standing in the doorway of Joey's room, and he's just on the rampage in his room, 9-year-old boy. And she looks at me and she looks at him. And I could just see defeat in her eyes. And I said, you prayed for 3 years for this kid. You wanted this baby. Now he's here. You know, so there we are. And she just began to quietly speak in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And I joined her. And Joey, who was just angry, got really, really quiet. And the whole atmosphere of the room completely changed. And it wasn't because Joni was doing it at the top of her lungs, just very quietly. And he saw something different. Because he came up to Joni afterwards and he says, something happened. What kind of crap did you pull on me back there? And so Joni brought him into my room. And he said, can I do that too? Because something changed. And I explained it to him. And I said, what do I have to do? I said, you just ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And he will do that. And it's just me and him sitting on the bed. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. My son wants more of God. And Joey's just sitting there, and he prays to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, again, there's just a tangible sense God's doing something. And he began to quietly speak in his prayer language, and he gave me a big hug. But there was this moment of something shifted. And so there's not a formula. You know, afterwards today, there'll be people available to pray with you. If you would rather do this at home, it's perfectly okay to be able to go to your house. Maybe you're, you know, eating breakfast, dinner, you're reading your Bible. Take a few minutes by yourself and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then trust that the words he's going to put in your mouth are going to be ones that are coming from your spirit to him. And when you want to stop talking, you stop talking. You want to start talking, you can. If you've already been baptized with the Holy Spirit, this is something you can ask God, you know, fill me up. We see the same people in Acts chapter 2 who were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and the room was shaken. Okay? I've never been in a room that was shaking because of that, but it'd be cool. But in the meantime, the big thing was that they were filled. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want all you have for us. I pray that every barrier in us that resists what you want to do in us, you would dismantle. We ask you, Lord, to fill us more and more with your Spirit. And Lord, that as we pray in your Spirit, we would be built up to be the men and women you made us to be. That we would see the benefit of partnering with you and allowing your work to be happening in us. In Jesus' name. I want to give an opportunity with nobody looking around. If you have never started a relationship with God through Jesus, the Bible tells us how we do that is to, first of all, believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then to confess that God raised him from the dead. And that's the first step in being able to follow after him, to be then water baptized and baptized with the Holy Spirit. But if you'd like today to be the day that you begin with Jesus, saying, I don't want to follow my way anymore, I want to follow his, I just would invite you to lift up your hand. The sign is saying, that's me, I'm going with him. If I miss you, wave at me. I don't want to miss you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.